tendency to fail. You know, reading this and seeing what he says in this verse, it lets you know that men have the same tendencies back then as they do today. Because it is men that drive their children or provoke their children to anger. It is fathers that do that. Very rarely do children become angry because of their mothers. It's almost always because of their fathers. And it is fathers here who are given this. It is not to the mothers. It is to the fathers. They say, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And we see this as a tendency still today, that fathers turn their children into angry, angry people. And many of those children, they grow up and they stay angry, and their whole lives they're angry, and it's because of their father. So let's see what this says here. It says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." The word provoke means to offend, incense, or enrage. It's to make somebody angry, to provoke them, to do something to them. Again, you often think of prodding cattle as provoking. But if you prod the wrong thing, like a tiger, what happens?
It leaves you.
Yeah, it gets mad. You poke what do they say? Don't poke the bear. Because you poke the bear and you turn it into a rage monster. And this is what fathers can do. They can provoke their children. Specifically, fathers provoking their children. There are things a father can do that would offend his children in such a way that they become angry. And as this says, are provoked unto wrath. You know, there's a general principle here, though, that applies to everybody. And I want each one of us to think about this. What you do can affect somebody else's life. A father can act in such a way that it destroys his children and makes them angry. But did you know that what you do affects other people as well? The way that you act, the things that you say, what you do. And we need to be very careful. And when I say we, I mean each one of us needs to be very careful not to be so selfish that we don't care about how we're affecting other people. Your life affects people. And for us to say, well, I'm just going to do what I want, and I don't care what I do does to somebody else, it's very selfish to live that way. And this proves that what you do affects people. And nowhere does it say that a child does not face God's judgment for being angry. It doesn't say that. They're accountable for being angry, but it was their fathers that did that to them. And you're not going to stand in judgment day and God's not going to say, well, Eric, it's your fault that David did that because you did this. But it might be true that the reason I did that is because you did this. Be careful. Be careful what you do. You affect people around you. And we all know that, don't we? Other people have done things and what they did to you made you respond in a certain way. I was talking to Bonnie about her brother who got in that car. He killed somebody with his car. But the reason that he was speeding is because the guy behind him flipped him off because he didn't go as fast as that guy thought he should. And it made him mad. And then he sped down the road. And you know that guy anonymously called the police and said, hey, there was an accident yesterday and it is partly my fault because I flipped him off and I was honking at him and stuff like that. And so you see, his action caused somebody else to do something. And it's the same with us. Okay, so you understand that principle that's shown here. But specifically here, that fathers can do something to their children to make them angry people. The command is provoke not. So he tells fathers, don't do whatever it is that makes your children angry. And fathers must take great care to treat their children in a way that they do not become wrathful and angry. So then we have to ask the question, how can a father provoke his children to wrath? Now, I just kind of thought through my own life And I think that you'll see these things. Number one, a father can provoke his children to wrath by being an angry man. If a man is angry and he always is blowing up and he's just an angry person, his children are going to imitate that. That's what children do. They imitate what they see. You know, when we were in Pensacola, we would go and do this Bible club in this low-income black neighborhood. And some of those little black kids had the worst tempers you've ever seen in their life. And they would start screaming. And I mean, what the F is wrong with you? And we're talking little 5-6-year-old kids that are screaming. And I'm going to kill you. Literally, they'd say that. I'm going to kill you. And I mean, just rage. Well, one day we were there at the park. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you were even there. But there was one of the children's dad that, I mean, this kid came every week and he was one of those kids, was out in the parking lot and he told his son to do something and his son didn't do it. And he just let rip into that kid, screaming the F-bomb at him. He lit that kid up. Profanity and anger, and you could hear the anger in his dad's voice. And I'm sitting there going, that's why the kids do that. They're imitating it. So that's one way. If a man is an angry man, he's going to provoke his children to wrath. They're going to be angry. And so men have to watch that. Fathers specifically must watch and not become angry. Another way that a man can provoke his children to wrath is to mistreat his children with harshness rather than love. To mistreat them, to be harsh with them. I think I've told you this story before. I've got some illustrations, personal illustrations. You know what? We've probably all got some of these where we've seen stuff like this. But I remember a man, he was a Baptist preacher to the Amish. I don't know if he was a missionary or not, but he was... And I remember they came to our house and his son did something. And it was a rule that his dad had. He wasn't supposed to do whatever it was. I think what it was is he changed in our room, not in front of girls, but in front of other boys. He changed his clothes and their family, I guess they were not allowed to change their clothes even in front of other boys. And I remember he did that. And when his dad found out, he took him and his son showed us and he was black and blue for a tiny little infraction. I mean, black and blue from here to here. He just beat the smithereens out of him. And they were used to that. And that boy was an angry boy. He could get angry in a second. He would get angry. Now, it later came out, and again, sadly, that this man was sexually abusing his daughters. And before his daughter could take him to court, he committed suicide. So he turned his children into wrathful children, especially his son. Because he abused them. He beat them without mercy. Fathers who show no mercy nor tenderness toward their children will provoke their children to wrath. I said this when I talked about husbands. No man that's a real man beats his wife. You're not a man if you beat your wife. You're a sissy.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
And no real man would mistreat his children with excessive punishment, specifically during bursts of anger. And that goes together. If you beat your children, you're an angry person. Now, there are times, and I've told you before, there's times when children, they do need harsher punishment. It's just the way it is. Sometimes it's a battle of the will. Who's going to win, daddy or the child? Well, in that case, whatever it takes for daddy to win and show that he's in charge, he has to do that. And sometimes that means harsh punishment. But still, that must be under control. Here's another way that a man can provoke his children to wrath, and that's how he speaks to them. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The man screams and yells at his children, he can stir up anger in them. And, you know, some people would say something like this. Well, it's not his fault if his kids are angry and disrespectful, but our passage says otherwise. It says it's his fault. At least partially, it's his fault for the way he treats his children, the way he speaks to his children, that causes it. Here's another one. Inconsistent correction, or only ever correcting your children. I've known some fathers, and the only interaction they have with their children is to correct them and tell them they're wrong. And it's always just like, whenever dad's around, I can never be good enough, and all he's doing is correcting me all the time. Now listen, I'm for correcting children as often as they need it. My children are at a stage in life where they need a whole lot of it. I spend a lot of time correcting them, teaching them. But a father must spend time with his children doing other things. They need to go for a walk. They need to go play. They need to do those things. And there's many fathers who for whatever reason, maybe they work too much, or maybe they just have their own problems and they're emotionally distant from their children, and their children don't feel like their father even cares about them. All he ever does is spank me, or all he ever does is tell me how I'm no good. And that's what they feel. And he can provoke them to wrath, and children can become angry because they don't feel the love of their father.
Maybe the father was never shown love, so didn't know how.
It could be, I don't know. But that's why we have the Bible, and it tells fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And here's one more, inconsistent punishment. If a child doesn't know whether this time will be the one time his dad explodes and beats the tar out of him. You know what I'm talking about? There are men who they'll let their kids go, let it go, and then one time, all of a sudden, dad gets mad, and that's the time. And then it'll go for a couple weeks, and he'll let it grow, and then 2 weeks later, boom, he's just beats him again, and they live in this fear and dread of their father. Now again, I am not opposed to beating your children biblically, because that's what the Bible says. Beat him with the rod. I spank my children very regularly, and most people would probably say too hard, okay? I regularly spank my children because God told me to. You know what the Bible says? He that spareth the rod, what? No, hateth his son. You hate your son if you spare the rod. So I say to anybody who says you spank your kids too hard, spare me. But if a man only picks and chooses when he's mad to do it, he's not creating a place where a child understands, I'm in trouble, I get spanked. No, it's, okay, I got away with it. Okay, this time dad blew a lid and he beat the tar out of me. And that will provoke a child to wrath. Discipline is to be two things. Number one, it is to be consistent. And number two, it is to be under control. That's consistent. If they need it, they get it. We don't let our children off the hook. And then we do it in a controlled manner. That's how it ought to be. What happens then when a child is provoked to wrath? Well, the word wrath means violent anger, vehement exasperation. Think about the word exasperation. What does it mean to be exasperated? Bruce, I'm sure you know. Mr. Dictionary over here. What does it mean to be exasperated? Does anybody know? It's like, you're at the end of your rope. I've got nothing left. I'm exasperated. I'm so tired. I have nothing else to give. And that's how these children feel. There's nothing there. We're going to see in Colossians, it says, lest they be discouraged. They feel discouraged. They feel like there's not a hope in their life, specifically of having a good relationship with their father, because of the way he treats them. They're driven to exasperation and anger.
We think the father should tell it when they did good, too. Should praise them sometimes.
Yeah. He should.
And I know a lot of fathers don't.
Yeah.
My dad did. He didn't believe it.
Yeah. You know, and some men say, well, I'm a man, and so I don't need to have those feelings, and I'm not gonna lower myself to have an emotional connection with my children, their kids, and I'm a man, and I'm the dad around here, way to go, right? Like, I look at somebody like that, and I say, oh yeah, you're so tough that you turned your kids into angry people, and you never showed them love. Way to go, buddy. No, that's not manliness. It's fake manliness. So yes, you ought to praise them when they do well. And I always give my kids a hug after I spank them. Every time. When we're done spanking, I sit down, I talk to them, and I say, okay, come give daddy a hug. You know that daddy loves you? Every time I say that.
I don't know if I like that or not. We don't, I think, as a kid.
Well,
he just had done spanking somebody, and then he wanted to hug him. It's like,
yeah.
Give him time.
Well, when you have kids, you tell me how you do it.
I'm not having kids.
Okay.
Just because of that.
All right. Now, this wrath, the wrath of children, can manifest in different ways. And I've seen it manifest in different ways. It can manifest against their parents. My dad had a friend in high school. I've told you this story before. He had a friend in high school, hated his dad. He just hated him. His dad was really hard on him. They had a farm. His dad was hard on him. He could never, in his dad's eyes, he could never do anything right. He hated his dad, and I think he was 15 or 16, grabbed the shotgun, walked down to the barn, shot his dad, and killed him. He was walking up to his house, and his mom, who he loved, came running out screaming, "What happened? What'd you do? What happened? What'd you do?" And he shot his mom and killed her. Walked inside, made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, called the police on himself.
Wow.
So his wrath manifested against his parents right there.
Yep.
But then other kids, you know, if the dad's too big and too strong or whatever it may be, their wrath manifests against other people. And we all know somebody like that. All of us knows or has known an angry person in your life. Somebody who at a moment's notice could just blow up and get so angry. And it's very possible and even likely the reason that they were like that is because of their relationship with their father. Their father did not do his part to turn them into the people that they ought to have been. Colossians 3:21, let's go look at that. It's a parallel passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 21. Here's something else that can happen when a child is provoked to wrath. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." So we see those words are interchangeable, wrath, anger. "Lest they be discouraged." I'm going to read you a quote here and then make a few comments about just what that means to be discouraged, specifically a child. You know, adults get discouraged. We understand that. But it's a very sad thing when a child is discouraged, and it's specifically because of the way their father has treated them. Sometimes babies get discouraged in life.
Is she okay?
She's okay. This is what John Gill said about this. He said, "Children get disheartened and dispirited. Their spirits are broken through grief and trouble, and they become indolent, sluggish, and unfit for business. Despairing of having any share in the affections of their parents, they disregard their commands, instructions, and corrections, and grow stubborn and rebellious." Because a child feels, "I will never have the affection and love of my father," they become discouraged and disheartened. And because of that, they say, "You know what? Why should I obey him? He doesn't even love me." You know, why do we obey God? This is the love of God. Not that we loved him, but what? He loved us. We love him because he loved us. It's the love of God that drives us to serve him and love him. And it ought to be the love of a father that drives his children to love and honor and obey him. And when a father doesn't love his children, they become discouraged and say, I don't want to listen to him. I'm not going to follow him. And they become angry and resentful in their hearts against their father. They become discouraged emotionally, wondering if they will ever have a good, pleasant relationship with their parents. You know, it's a sad thing when a child doesn't know that their parents love them. Can you imagine being a child and growing up in a home where you don't know if your father even loves you? Can you imagine how that would make you feel?
You have to imagine. I know how it makes you feel.
Discouraged, disheartened, and these children, they become angry. So they become discouraged emotionally. Also, they become discouraged spiritually. If a child is angry and wrathful, he's not right with God. We agree with that? Angry people are not right with God. And you say, well, yeah, but it was because of the father. Yeah, but it affected the child and it made them angry. And then they weren't right with God. And now they can't have a proper walk with God. And you say, well, what happened? The father didn't do what he was supposed to do. Their father, it was his fault. Proverbs says, the anger rests in the bosom of fools. A father that provokes his children to wrath turns them into fools. And the onus in these things is not on the children, but the father to mend and restore a proper relationship. You know, as I grew up, I heard a lot of preaching about how teenagers are rebellious and they need to get right with their parents, and those teenagers and those bad teenagers, and those teenagers will never, and those teenagers won't listen. You know what I didn't hear a lot of? I didn't hear a lot of, hey, you fathers, you treat your children the right way. You spend time with your children. You show them God and his word and his love, and you do what you ought to do, fathers. And don't just make your kids suffer their whole life not having a father that cares about them. I'm not saying it's right for teenagers to be rebellious, but this says the reason that they're discouraged and angry is because of their fathers. And those kids are sitting in church with their dad right next to them, and the pastor's saying, come on, kids, quit being rebellious. And their father's sitting over here, and he's not doing a stinking thing to try to raise his children for the Lord. And he doesn't treat them right. And that's a problem. And fathers need to man up and do what is right and raise their children to know God. And they need to live a life that shows what it means to be a godly person for their children. I'm not excusing rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, there's a lot of rebellion that happens because fathers aren't doing their part. Then we come to the last phrase in our verse. It says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This word, that word, but, it means there's a contrast, which means that these two things are connected. In other words, if a father provokes his children to wrath, he's not bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But also, if he's going to be the father that he ought to be, that must include nurturing and bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. If he's not doing that, he's not being the father that he's supposed to be. A man could say this, well, I don't beat my kids. I don't yell at them. I don't scream at them. I spend time with them. But if you're not nurturing them in the admonition of the Lord, you're still not completing this verse. It doesn't say, don't provoke your kids to wrath and you're a good dad. No, it says, don't provoke them to the wrath, but rather bring them up. There is something else that has to be done, and that is to bring them up. The Bible here and other places emphasizes the importance of how a child is brought up. We all know the verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train them up in the way that they should go. Instruct them, bring them along in this way. Parents, and specifically fathers, from the very earliest age, are to consider how they bring up their children. It's on fathers. God puts it on fathers right here. He says, fathers, it's your job to look at your children and say, what do I need to do to raise them up to be what God wants them to be? That's my responsibility. By the way, it's not my wife's responsibility. It's my responsibility. I'm the one who is in charge of making sure that my children are brought up the right way. Now, what I will do is I will tell my wife, or at least speak with my wife and say, this is what we're going to do. Here's your role and what I would like you to do. And my wife and I have many conversations like that. Even on the way home, driving home last night from Indianapolis, we were talking and I said, you know, this situation happened and I saw you did this and I think you should have done this. And we have those conversations like that because I'm responsible as the man of the home to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice that it says, bring them up. Children are to be brought up. They're not expected just to grow up on their own. Okay? The fathers are to be actively involved in this process of bringing up their children. And I'll say this, I say this a lot, but it's worth being said. Men ought to be a lot less worried about having a big house and a nice car and a lot of money and more worried about how much they're doing to obey God's command in what they do in the lives of their children. Too many men get too focused on stupid things that don't matter, right? Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And they say, well, I need to work more hours so we can have more stuff. And I need to do this so we can do this. And the whole time, you know what they neglect? Their children. We've all seen it. Every one of us has seen men who spend their lives doing all these other things and they neglect their children. And this passage says, no, that doesn't fly. It doesn't fly. Children ought to know that their dad cares more for them than he does for anything else. And we see here that it is the responsibility of parents to bring up their children in the things of the Lord. Not a Christian school, not a public school, not a church, not a Sunday school. Parents, fathers, it's their responsibility to see to it that their children are taught the things of the Lord. They need to invest in the spiritual, emotional, and even societal growth of their children. By the way, parents need to teach their children how to live in society. If a dad has a kid that's weird, and the dad knows the kid is weird, he shouldn't let the kid be weird. He should say, no, that's weird, okay? You're not going to act that way. That's not a normal way to act. And they need to teach their children how to live in the world, how to talk to people, just life. Children should learn life from their parents. But also their emotional and their spiritual things. The children could become godly, stable, honest, hardworking citizens where they live, both in the nation they live in and in the kingdom of God. They need to, and kingdom of God gets priority in that realm. It's the fathers, it's the parents. It says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're actually almost finished here. The word nurture means training, discipline, education. The same Greek word is used in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Then it says this, for instruction in righteousness. That word instruction is the same word here for nurture. Instruction. Parents are to instruct their children day in, day out, teaching our children the truth of God's word. 1 hour a week in Sunday school is not going to cut it for your children's spiritual training. All the time we're teaching them, instructing. It's the school of life. I'm the teacher. They're the students. And it's my job to teach them the things of God. What should be taught to children? A couple things. First of all, the attributes of godliness. Honesty. Parents should teach their children to be honest. It's not funny when kids lie. I see these videos where parents take videos of their children just telling a lie, and then everybody laughs at it. And it is funny in a sense. I mean, it's funny when kids lie, but it's not actually funny because you're raising up a liar. And you're showing them that's okay. It's not funny. You teach them to be honest. Purity. To be pure in the way that they act and talk and dress and those things. And we've got to be careful. My little 4-year-old daughter and her little 6-year-old cousin, I can already hear them. I can already hear impurity coming in. Just a little bit here and there. I mean, little things. But they know it. They know what they're saying. And they make these jokes that are just a little bit off color and they're laughing about it. It's my job to say, hey, no, we don't talk like that, and that's not funny. I'm to teach them those things. Purity. Diligence. We need to teach our children to work. It's my job to teach my children to work. Respect. I missed this last week, or whenever we did Children Obey Your Parents. I still believe that children should say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I think it's good. I think it's respectful and it's honoring. And I teach my children to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That's how they respond to me and their mother. I don't have Bible for that, except that we do see that they did call, say, sir. Children said, sir, to their fathers. And so there is that. Courage. I mean, it's the job of a father to teach his children to be courageous and brave. No, you're going to be brave. You're going to be tough. You have to be. Life is not easy. And we can't raise up little sissies. We need to raise children, men and women, who are strong and courageous. Just. They ought to be just in their dealings and do what is right and treat others right. And we need to teach our children to treat others in a right and proper way. We also have to teach them about the dangers of sin. Fathers ought to teach their children the danger of sin. And listen, fathers have all sinned enough that we know, haven't we? We've sinned enough that we know the dangers. And we ought to warn our children. We ought to start when they're young. And then we must teach them the knowledge of Christ. Both the right way to live and the avoidance of the dangers of sin are only worth knowing if they know Jesus. It doesn't matter if I train up a kid who knows how to be respectful and knows not to do drugs and get involved in immorality, and they can stay away from all that stuff. If they never know Jesus Christ, none of that matters. And it's the job of a father to teach his children about Christ and the gospel. And by the way, fathers must be careful not only to teach by word, but exemplify by action. Because what we do says a whole lot more than what we say. And our children know. Our children know. To this day, I can remember things that were said in our church and done differently at our home. And there weren't many, but there were a few. And I remember seeing that and going, wait a second. He just did something that we're not supposed to do, and putting that together. And again, it was few and far between. I had a father who was a good father, so I can't use this. My rebellion was all me. I can't blame my dad for it. But But I remember those things. When my dad got angry or something like that, some of those things still are in my mind. Because children are watching. So
kids do try to rebel sometimes, which is normal.
Yeah. The nurture and then the admonition. Admonition means counseling against a fault, caution, instruction, and duties. Similar to nurture, this word emphasizes this word more emphasizes the personal nature. Think about, okay, nurture, I'm teaching. It's more of a teacher and their student. Admonition, it has the idea of, this is somebody I really care about, right? Do you understand that? So teaching, I'm up here, you're back there, I'm instructing you. Admonition is me coming over here and sitting down and saying, hey man, I saw what you were doing this and I needed to talk to you and this is something I really care about. And it wouldn't be with all of you here. This is me and him and I've got something that I want to talk to him about. And fathers are to do that with their children. They're to come to them and say, hey, I see something in your life and that's not right. And they're talking with them and they're concerned about it. And they admonish them in the Lord. A heartfelt appeal to their children about the things of God and what is right. And then the last phrase, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children are to be taught by their fathers the things of God, His word, and His will. Each father has the responsibility to do this with his children. We are not to wait and see if our children catch on to the Christian life. You know, that's what a lot of fathers think. And again, I bet you've seen this. Peyton, sit up. Speaking of fathers and children, sit up. Put the paper down. Sit up. And just sit there. I don't want you to play with anything until we're finished. Yes, sir? Okay. I've seen a lot of fathers, and I think this is what they think. Well, if my kids see me go to church, if they see me read my Bible, if they see me do this, they see me do that, surely they'll catch on to it, right? That's how they think. They think, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to, minus this, because they're not doing it, as long as I'm, you know, showing my kids churchiness, then they'll just catch on and they'll do what's right and they'll love God. Well, that's not what this says. It says fathers are to actively be teaching their own children. And you know, that takes time. It takes effort. And a lot of fathers are just simply too lazy and they don't care enough to do what God says fathers ought to do with their children. But it is an active role that fathers are to play in the lives of their children. So we see this tonight. I know I'm the only father with children in my home that's here, okay? But yet, this needs to be told. Christian fathers need to hear this so they know what is expected of them. Because we need this, and our children need this, and the next generation needs fathers who are taking this scripture to heart. It is a lot of work. I'll tell you, I am not the dad that I ought to be. I want to be, and I don't know if I should say I try. I kind of try. I don't try hard enough, right? Because if I tried hard enough, I would just do what I'm supposed to do. But it takes work for a dad to raise up his kids. It takes selflessness because instead of going to sleep or doing what I want, I have to take time and spend it with my children. And I don't always want to. You say, well, how could you not with those beautiful kids? Well, they're beautiful, but sometimes they get obnoxious. And sometimes I just am not feeling like it, but I don't have the choice, if I want to raise them up to know the Lord, I have got to do it. And other fathers in this world have got to say, this is what's right. This is what God has called me to do. Don't provoke them to wrath. Treat them right. Man, I do feel bad. Don't you feel bad for those kids whose dads mistreat them? I hate it. I when I see it, oh, I hate it. It's terrible. But don't provoke them to wrath. Bring them up. Invest in your children. And by the way, there is no better investment. There's no better investment. Think about it. You invest in your children, they grow up to know God and love God and serve God, and then they do the same with their children, and you get to grow up and watch your children and your grandchildren serving God, loving God, knowing God. Would you trade that for your children having a big house? Would you rather them have a giant mansion and not follow God and have children that grandchildren go into hell and have a big house? Or would you rather them have humble means but love the Lord and love your grandchildren and great-grandchildren and generation after generation knows God because a father took the time to do what God told him to do to teach his children about God from his word? It's important. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this scripture that teaches us about what fathers are to do. Lord, it's a great burden upon my heart, even for my children. Give me grace. If you can use this message to help a father, I pray that you would use it some way, somehow, to help a father with his children. Lord, your word is, it's like a knife that pierces in. And it's done that to me today, showing me my own inadequacy. Help me. By your grace, I pray, help me to raise up my children for you. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.